field showing a crater.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to Dose of Reality. I'm your host, Brian Stavely. I'm here today with Paul Knight, Gloria Cannata, and Mike Guadio actually is back with us again. And what's up, everybody?
Hi.
How are you guys?
I'm with that.
So we got a lot of stuff we're going to talk about today, actually. Obviously, by the title of the video, you can tell some of the things we're going to get into. When we say the AIDS hoax, and I put question marks there, notice I didn't put exclamation points. We're not saying AIDS is a hoax, but we're saying there's some information out there that seems to be definitely has some merit that should be looked at. Would you agree with that, Gloria? You're muted.
I know I'm muted because the lawn guy decided to mow the lawn right now. No, I do agree 100%.
Mike?
I'm with you on that one. There's definitely something, there's something weird about that.
Yeah, and Paul, what do you think? I haven't had time to get your opinion on it, really, since I passed, you know, on the idea of what we were going to talk about, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's better that you put the thing about the question mark and all that about being a hoax and things like that, because it is real, but you're just talking about how, you know, how it's become. And it's definitely a hoax, as like you've said, in that sense, because it's man-made, in my opinion.
Yeah, and whether it's how a disease is classified or how it's contracted or if it's man-made or not, if it's any one of those avenues, something like that, Paul, that you could use the word hoax. There's an AIDS going on, you know, or if it's accelerated profit or whatever. We're going to get into exactly what we're talking about real soon. Some other topics we're going to address is Mike brought this up to my attention about AI, and it seems to be something to look at. You guys know I'm not the type of person that's out here that's going to say AI is running the world, and, you know, I don't think we live in a simulation or anything like that. But we're going to make a distinction between the type of AI we're talking about, what people think about when they hear the terms AI, what type of AI is actually used right now. Right, Mike? We're going to make those, we're going to let people know the differences between all of that, and we're going to kind of get into that.
Yeah, sounds good to me.
And also, we're going to get into the anatomy, since we are going to be talking about the body a lot with the AIDS thing. We're going to get into the anatomy and some of the Mandela effect changes. And Gloria has a bunch of them that we're going to go through. Some of them are old, some of them are new. We're going to start off with some of the old ones because they're big, and, you know, we're going to get people to really take some interest in this. And then we're going to have a bunch of new ones. And I don't know, Paul, did you have some stuff planned too that you want to talk about, or?
Yeah, I can briefly touch on a few things, yeah. You know me, I'll talk about anything.
All right. So, Mike, first of all, let me welcome Mike back. Everybody, if you don't know Mike was, he came on the My Awakening episode, number 7 with us, and then he did the show that we did about the ancient trees, giants, and things related to that. Mike, are you still looking into that too, or...?
Yeah, it's kind of slowed down a little bit. Work picked up, so I've been busy doing that. And then, you know, a couple other things caught my eye that we had talked about before, just with the AI and, you know, a couple discrepancies just with certain ways HIV and AIDS is diagnosed and treated. I kind of stayed along those lines the last couple weeks.
Yeah, so Mike, I know Mike from way back, guys. If you guys don't know, I've been doing shows since 2010, even though my YouTube channel has only been having uploads for several months. I've always done them on my website. I didn't really want to deal with the hassle of YouTube, and for obvious reasons, we've seen that hassle come into play many times. But Mike was there when, you know, I was going through the 9/11, and, you know, Mike's an old school no planner from back in the day, you know, even though I don't like the labels, but you guys know what I mean. So Mike's been around around the block. So when Mike tell, much like Paul and Gloria, when they shoot me something and say, hey, you got to have a look at this, this is the type of thing that we're talking about. Everybody should share their research, even if you think it looks wild to somebody else. Like Mike probably knew when he sent me something on AI. At first I'm going to be like, oh, AI, but then I looked at it and it's like, it's pretty fascinating stuff that he said. But to the AIDS thing, Mike, how did you get your interest peaked in this recently? What happened?
Man, I was sitting in bed, flipping through Facebook, and then this Indian guy, I can't pronounce his name for the life of me, but he's in his 5-minute videos in that playlist that I sent you, and it said the AIDS hoax. And I said, what could this guy be talking about? And I clicked on it. It was a very informative, quick 5-minute video. And I think for the most part, he was trying to sell his book because he wrote an entire book about it. But he was going in to say that, like, standardized, there's no real standardized control for the testing that they're doing. So, like, a lot of people have been getting false positives. You know, like, you could go and get tested in, say, the United States and then go to France. So you're in the United States, you get tested for HIV and it shows a positive, and you go to France and get tested for HIV and it'll show a negative. So what he went on to say was that they're not testing for HIV itself. They are testing for a protein, and that shows up with 29 other diseases that you could possibly get, anything ranging from diarrhea to cancers to, you know, certain other, like, infections inside your body.
The thing, like, they have never isolated the HIV in anybody, ever. There's all these variables involved. So this just sounds more like the same pseudoscience we've been dealing with all these other topics. It's the same type of mentality with the medical industry. Gloria, you looked into this a while ago, because I brought it up to you, like, I think it was just last night. I was like, this is what Mike wants to talk about. Check this stuff out. And you right away, you were like, oh my God, I think you guys are on to something, because I already been looking at this. What was it that piqued your interest in this topic?
I came across a video just out of nowhere. Mike, have you ever heard of Dr. Robert Wilner?
No, I've, like, this is pretty much like a cursory glance. I mean, I looked into this for a couple of days and he got sidetracked in AI for a while. So,
because he was around in the 70s and 80s. He died, I believe it was 1995. And he did like a 3-hour video on how HIV AIDS is bullshit. And he injected himself a few times with people that were so-called HIV positive, and he never contracted anything.
Yeah, right, and that's what the guy in India was trying to do, and then the Indian government shut him down and said, if you do that, we're going to throw you in jail because you are negligently spreading disease. And they put an end to it because he was trying to do that on April 8th, 2018, he had set up, he had like 7,000 people come out, and he did the challenge. He said, you can't contract AIDS from blood. You don't get it from sexual transmission. You know, the tests are testing for other things. And what they're doing is the medication they're giving you is killing you, and not necessarily the disease itself. And it was interesting because I had never heard anything like that. Growing up as a kid, you hear, you know, I mean, I was born in 81. So I was, you know, kind of paying attention when the AIDS epidemic broke out, and you hear about it and everybody says, oh, well, you know, you don't have unprotected sex. You get it from blood. You get it from everywhere. You know, you got to be careful with this. And then you don't ever really look at it. You're a kid. You know what I mean? You don't pay attention to it. You see everybody dying from it, and you hear about everybody dying from it. But yeah, it piqued my interest because I had never even thought that that could even be a topic. You know, oh, you get into, you know, this community, it's a man-made disease. The government made it in order to kill people. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's kind of where it goes. So it really piqued my interest. And then to start looking into it, and then he's not the only one. There's another lady who said pretty much the exact same thing. And these are, you know, they're doctors. They're people in the science industry. They're, I mean, scientists themselves, biologists, microbiologists, specifically studying disease.
Mm-hmm. Here's the other thing too with it is, again, just so people that are just tuning in or saying, oh, you guys are talking, this is bullshit, I know people that are sick from AIDS. We're not saying people aren't getting sick. And we're not saying all those people are in on it, because you'd say all these people have to be in on it. We're not even saying the doctors are in on it, because the doctors are brainwashed enough to administer these tests, which aren't really looking for the disease. They're looking for an antibody in your body. That's what's registering. So then that tells them that you have AIDS, and then they give you the medicine, and that's what's wiping the people out. And there's a lot of different sicknesses that are triggering, even people that are pregnant. Yeah. Like, right. And then again, here's where the vaccines could tie in. And we're not saying you're not without even the vaccine argument of how, you know, they're making you. We all know that, all that. Right. But you get the vaccines and they make you more susceptible because you get sick. Then you get tested. Then your levels are raised where these things are reading you. And then all of a sudden they're telling you you have HIV, and then they're giving shit that's wiping you out.
That's right.
If what these people are saying is true.
Yeah. And you know what? This Dr. Robert, he says that the HIV test is 99.9% inaccurate. I mean, you can go there with the flu or have the flu shot and come back positive for HIV. And then, like you said, the medication gives it to you and you die.
Right. Basically. And it's the same thing with like pregnancy as well.
Like, it's just like chemo. The chemo is what ends up taking. Go ahead, Mike. I'm sorry.
There's, you know, from what this guy says, I mean, there's 29 different things that could trigger that antibody to show up and give you a false positive. And I brought it up to you to create, you know, thought process. Let's get people thinking. Let's get people looking at stuff. I mean, you know, the Facebook group used to be full of just back and forth, everybody, you know, looking into something and being a part of the, you know, something a little bit bigger than just doing it by yourself. So that was kind of like where I came from with that, was let's incite some thought process, you know, and get people looking into something, because there wasn't much, like, for me, I mean, looking through, you know, the couple searches I did on YouTube and some other places besides, were like digging into the New England Journal of Medicine and a lot of other places to sit there and read for hours and hours to try to figure it out. So, you know, but there's not a lot of just straight up information about it. Like, there was a couple videos, a couple people talking, and then I think for the most part, it's kind of brushed under the rug. They really don't want that kind of information being out there.
And it's pretty big to note that also, like, you know, like what the guy said, he's not just daring you, like, you know, about passing the disease to him. Think about what he's saying, though. So what they're saying basically is there is no blood-to-blood transfusion of AIDS between people. It doesn't exist. And it doesn't exist between sex. It doesn't exist between sex between gay people. And the only reason that they say the people in Africa and stuff have AIDS more is because of the way their body is. It produces that protein, that antibody, more frequently or in more circumstances than a lot of the other people in different regions of the world. So then they're getting diagnosed with AIDS for all the stupidest shit. And then people like the CDC and probably the American Red Cross and these other corrupt fucking agencies are going in and wiping people out. It's like a big genocide.
Actually, what they were saying about the people in Africa, as far as them having it, the reason why they have it is because malnutrition. You know, a lot of people that have eating disorders, that have anorexia and stuff like that, they will show positive for HIV.
Yeah.
And that's why people in Africa have that. It's autoimmune deficiency. It's the way they eat. It's everything that will give a positive result. And then what do they do? $1,000 a pill. $1,000 a pill to stay alive. And yet they're killing you. It's a DNA eraser. It's shutting down your DNA. It's killing them. That's what that pill does. But if you live with HIV, you'll be fine. You won't die. Okay? So it's the pill, the medication that people take to avoid dying is actually deleting their DNA. It's killing it. Basically what it does.
Right, but that all goes back to like what Joey was saying about cancer. Like, you could have cancer seven times, you know, average of seven times throughout your life, and you don't even realize you have it. It's only when you start going for medication and stuff like that is when you really catch it. I mean, there's certain, you know, instances. I mean, I know some children with brain cancers and things like that, and it's horrible to watch that take place. But at the same time, I mean, there's a huge industry behind all of this. It does raise the question, like, what is really happening? Like, you know, it's 2018. Let's get some real fucking answers at some point, because everybody, deserves to know this. If this isn't real, they've murdered millions and millions of people. For what?
Well, I mean, that. If you think about it, like when AIDS first came out, it was a gay thing, right? It was just gay people contracted it because of whatever.
And then it was drug addicts.
But then you look at the whole, and I hate to bring this up because I hate to say this, but you look at the whole religion thing, you know, gay people are cursed and they're going to hell, you know, because God did not create gay people. Being gay is a choice, which whoever thinks that is a fucking moron. Okay, being gay is not a choice. Your sexual preference is your sexual preference because of your fucking Y chromosomes and your X chromosomes, and there's more. It's just, okay, they need to educate themselves. But it became a religious thing that if you're gay, you're going to hell, and this is God's punishment now. God is killing all the gay people.
That's fucking ridiculous.
That's fucked up. That's fucked up.
You know what I found? Yeah, I found some interesting. Well, I obviously just had a quick glance at this because obviously you need more time. I couldn't believe when it was first recognized, HIV. Can you have a hazard a guess of what year?
I know it was a long, 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 long time ago.
I don't know.
A lot of people think, oh, it's the 60s and stuff like that. I've seen it, evidence there, in 1920s. And that's crazy.
But it's not the HIV that kills. It's the medication that they give them that kills them. Mm-hmm. And like I said, if you are anorexic.
As usual, should we be surprised at this point that that's what's happening? I think we should be ashamed that we haven't looked at this for the last 5 years, Mike. What the fuck? I mean, we mentioned it. We mentioned we thought it was a hoax, but we never thought of it in this type of detail where they do this scam where they test you. That's not really a test. It raises the test you levels. Then they prescribe you the drugs and kill you. Like, we just kind of thought maybe it was a hoax, but then that would have to involve everybody that says they have AIDS being an actor. Yeah. And that's not what's happening here. These people are really sick. They're being misdiagnosed and not intentionally by the doctors for the most part.
Yeah, but what
because
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Mike.
No, you're all right. Go for it.
No, because I was just thinking, do you remember that whole bullshit that unfolded, like, I don't know, 10 years ago about the bear aspirin, the bear industry, that they were actually putting in the AIDS bullshit inside of the aspirin, and people who were taking bear aspirin were coming down with HIV. And there was this whole big lawsuit. And then it just kind of disappeared.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, and then that story just disappeared, right? They didn't get, nobody got locked up. They just didn't investigate it any further. But it was proven that it was inside bear aspirin. But then
monetized to the big pharma, people like Dr. Hilleman from Merck Vaccine, which makes the most vaccines, are the number one manufacturer. And he's on video laughing how they put polio inside the, how they had put some form of I forget the term of cancer, but some form of cancer. They put it inside the fucking polio vaccines. This is old video.
Right, but if you look back through history, I mean, even recently, like you have the Tuskegee syphilis experiments going down. I mean, the government is not above hurting its own people. Like, not in any way, shape, or form. I mean, they've done human experiments on unwilling or unsuspecting participants for ages now. So it's not a shock, but, you know, I mean, for me, like I said, I mean, you look at it and you go, yeah, I mean, the main consensus for a long time was that it was a designer virus that they put out for population control. And then when, you know, they switched to something different because it didn't have the desired effects in a certain amount of time, it wasn't fast enough. Mm-hmm. So they, you know what I mean? So everybody, you know, around me at least thought that, hey, you know, well, they just switched to something else. And now they got Ebola, and Ebola is killing people too fast and it's not spreading fast enough. So just watch out for the next crazy disease to pop up. And you don't really think to look at it. And then, you know, all these years later, by accident, I'm sitting in bed and all of a sudden this guy is saying it's a complete hoax. You can't get it from anything. There's no testing. I mean, I'm personally haven't looked into it enough to go to those lengths just yet. I'm just given the information that I had, you know, went and looked at to, like I said, try to get people thinking and really looking into this, because it's something to look into. I mean, millions and millions and millions of people have died from this.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
like cancer, too, if you think about it. A lot of people, sorry, Paul, didn't mean to step on, yeah?
Yeah, but go on.
A lot of people who have cancer go through chemotherapy. The first round of chemotherapy that people go through will hit massive high fevers. And what's the first thing they do, come in and bring that fever down. No, motherfuckers, leave the fever alone because it's the body's way of fighting the cancer. Fever fights everything. And when you go for chemo, Brian, you know, my stepdad died from it. And they will, my girlfriend's mother just recently died from it. They always run a fever. You have to let the fever run its course because that's the way the body repairs itself through fever. But they bring it down. They don't want you to have a fever. So what happens? They shut your fever down. They get rid of it and you die. Your body can't fight no more. This is all bullshit. Your kid gets sick. He runs a fever right away. You take him to the doctor. He gives an antibiotic. Let it run its course. A fever will kill it. That's why that happens to them. That's why we run fevers. It's all bullshit. It is all bullshit. Sorry, I'm getting very heated.
All right. I'll carry on now.
Okay, well, I'm sorry.
I mean, without looking into a great deal, what I always thought was it was like a designer, like Mike said. If you thought so, was it? Because the history of it is that it supposedly have caught it from chimpanzees from eating or having sex or whatever they want to, you know what I mean? That's how, what history that I got taught. But what I thought was it was in conjunction with, the, you know, the Catholic Church, because they don't like you, you know, having contraception and things like that. I thought it was like a two-pronged attack. So you could, it's tailored, you know, tailor-made for African people. That's why it seemed to start there, you know, to mass wipe them out. And obviously if the church is saying you can't have contraceptive to stop this so-called AIDS, you know, getting passed on, it was like a mass genocide, as we just said, you know, from, as we know, the church and the elites. That's just what I thought before I really, really looked into it. It was just like tailor-made to wipe African people out.
So is that what you still think, or you say until you looked into it? So do you think differently?
I mean, I've not looked really, really into it because obviously, you know, I've got so many other things, but that's just what I always thought because of the church taking a stance on you can't use contraception. So all these people in Africa were, you know, contracting it. So it was basically they were letting it happen. And then you're getting all these big pharma coming in, giving drugs and all the stuff that it costs, you know. It was just like a genocide in a sense, and making money off the dead as well.
Yeah. Yep. I agree.
That was just my opinion before, you know, because I've not really, really, really looked into it.
But no,
I always knew it's man-made. It was designed to wipe out certain, because if you think about it, a lot of these diseases that they make now, they're all tailor-made to certain races. Ethnicities, and that's what happens. That's why when you see it, all these diseases happening around the world, you don't get them. Like, for instance, in America, you have like your 50 odd states. You don't get all these diseases happening all at once in every state because you won't be able to keep up with demand. So you see them in generally state by state. You know what I mean? That's just how they control it. They just release it because we know they make them in labs and top secret. Yeah. Places, you know what I mean? It's just,
we also know that the fucking medical industry is totally, not only not for us, they're like legit totally against us, totally for profit. That is the bottom line. Profit, profit, profit. And also control comes in with that as well. Profit, profit, profit. The people that, no, one more thing, just the people, there's a, like, isn't it true a lot of these people that pioneered these so-called AIDS medicines and whatnot are the same people that did the same type of bullshit so-called cures or treatments for cancer. They failed with cancer treatments, didn't they? And they went into the AIDS business.
Yeah. Well, I was just going to say quick is that over here, I mean, I can't say for these states because I don't know your medical, but over here, to be a doctor, you train less than you want to be a vet. You do longer when you want to be a vet. So a vet over here is more qualified than a doctor because they do more years. So it's like the case of the more like training is for an animal than a person.
So yeah, but that kind of...
Go ahead, Mike.
No, I'll play devil's advocate with you on that one, because I mean, if you look at a veterinarian, and depending on what they're doing, I mean, they could be looking, you know, at 15 to 20 different species of animals, and to figure out and have knowledge in every single one of those is going to take a long time. Yeah, I mean, here, you know, I mean, here, like, you go to school, you have your 4 years, and then you go from there, depending on where you're going to get. I mean, it could take up to 12 years to become a doctor.
So it's like a vet can look after a person, because they do, you know, they do the human stuff as well, but the doctor can't look at an animal for obvious reasons. Do you know what I mean? So they do a hell of a lot more training and more qualified. You know what I mean? It's, it doesn't seem enough. You know what I mean? Because all the stuff that's getting made now, there's that many things that anatomy changes. Even the doctors don't know what's going on.
That's funny, Paul. I could picture you getting a cold and going, "I have to go to the vet."
Yeah.
That's funny.
I usually don't like to play long videos and stuff during the show, but there is the 5 minute interview that the doctor we spoke about, the Indian guy. I really would like to play it, because the way he breaks it down, it's very easy to understand, and obviously his vocabulary is a little more than I'm capable of conveying the message to you guys. So I think we should play it. What do you think, Mike? That's probably a good idea, right? Play that fucking 5 minute interview.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of information in there in a short amount of time, and it's a good clip.
Yeah, and anybody listening, these videos we speak of in interviews, we spoke of a couple of them. They are linked in the show notes. I put them right in the show notes below this video. So if you're interested in watching any of them after, they'll all be right there. So let me, I'm gonna play this. You guys can see this, right? HIV/AIDS on my screen.
No, not yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, just come up.
All right, I'm going to play this, and guys, just watch this real quick. This
HIV AIDS, the greatest lie of 21st century. HIV, the human immunodeficiency virus, cannot cause AIDS. You may be surprised to know that HIV, a kind of retrovirus, cannot enter your body through blood transfusion, sexual contact, or by any other means. Don't believe me? Give me 5 minutes, you will believe. The discoverer of HIV, Luc Montagnier, the Nobel Prize winner, he has clearly established that HIV has never been found in the human body. In fact, in the last 35 years, since the time we were told that HIV causes AIDS, there had not been even a single research paper to prove that HIV is found in the human body. You might be thinking, if that is true, then why and how the doctors diagnose HIV/AIDS? When the doctor diagnose, they use this kind of kit, HIV diagnostic kit. But look carefully, it is not an HIV diagnostic kit. Actually, it is HIV antibody diagnostic kit. Antibody is something, a kind of protein, which is produced by your body. And it is having nothing to do with HIV itself. Even the PCR test inventor, PCR test is the kind of test which is used all over the world to detect HIV. The PCR test inventor, Kary Mullis is also a Nobel Prize winner. His invention is not meant to test HIV. His invention cannot detect HIV at all. In fact, it is HERV, human endogenous retrovirus, a kind of virus which your body produces on its own during the time of illness. When you are ill with tuberculosis, pneumonia, diarrhea, certain kind of cancer, flu, even sometime during pregnancy, your body produces HERV. At the time, if you go for such kind of diagnostic test, you may be tested as HIV positive. The truth is that when you are ill, body produces such kind of retrovirus, and once the illness goes, these HERV also vanishes. But once you are tested as HIV positive, although it is false HIV positive, the doctors will prescribe you AIDS medication. It is these AIDS medication which causes AIDS. So these are kind of AIDS medication. AIDS is acquired immunodeficiency syndrome. It is not a new disease. It is a new name given to the collection of 29 already familiar illnesses by CDC, Center for Disease Control, US. And which are those 29 illnesses? That include tuberculosis, diarrhea, certain kind of cancer, certain kind of flu, pneumonia, etc. It's a big scam. Very, very big scam. The greatest scam of humanity and the second most profitable business. Some of you may be knowing the most profitable business in this world is the business of religion. Because when you donate any money in the name of God, when you donate any money in the name of prayer, that money do not go to the God, because God is non-existent. It goes in the pocket of those who propagate the religion. In the same way, the money which is allocated or donated or collected for HIV/AIDS prevention or cure or research do not go anywhere, because HIV/AIDS does not exist in reality. So it goes directly in the pocket of those who are involved in the propaganda of HIV/AIDS hypothesis. And those people include CDC of US, FDA of India, IMA, Indian Medical Association of India. FDA and IMA, this is the body who had been stopping me on several occasions to tell the truth, to reveal the truth of medical science, to show the real face of medical science. On 8th April, a day after the World Health Day, I'm going to expose this hypothesis with the launch of my book, HIV/AIDS, the Greatest Lie of 21st Century. My challenge to FDA and IMA on that day at 11 a.m. in Hindi Bhavan, Ghaziabad, you bring one HIV patient, a patient whom you claim to be HIV positive, take out his blood, and I volunteer myself in the presence of media, in the presence of public, I allow you to inject that blood in my body. If HIV/AIDS hypothesis is true, then after some days, I should be detected as HIV positive, and eventually I should suffer from AIDS, die of AIDS. I invite all of you to join me on 8th of April at 11 a.m. in Hindi Bhavan, Ghaziabad. And if you cannot come physically, even then you can connect with me through Facebook Live. If you need that book, I can send you the ebook. You just send me the request through my email. Spread this message to free the nation of the economic and social burden of HIV/AIDS. All the best. Jai Hind. Thank you.
All right, everybody. You guys can hear me, right? Everybody's back?
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, I mean, it seems pretty much worth at least taking a look at. I'm not saying just go and believe anybody. I'm not saying just believe this guy or the next person, but it brings up some seriously good points where if the points he makes are true, then there's a serious problem here.
Well, you know what? The Dr. Robert Wilner, he did it live, and he injected himself, I believe, over 12 times. And every time he would go get his blood done, it was negative. And one doctor had told him, oh, are you kidding me? If you're trying to give yourself AIDS, you have to inject yourself 300 times. And the doctor was like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. It should have caught on already after 12 times of injecting himself with somebody's blood who was HIV. And I definitely think everybody should watch that video. Look it up. It's Robert, W-I-L-L-N-E-R, Dr. Robert.
Hey, if there's some truth to this, then I certainly look at Magic Johnson in a new light, huh?
Exactly.
Did he have it to begin with?
Yeah.
Never had it to begin with, and he's really, if this was true, not saying it is, but if it turned out to be true, well, then the guy would basically be a shill assisting in the genocide of his own people, even if it's probably a good chance a lot of them don't look at him as part of their own people. But
well, you look at it this way, Brian, if you have that and somebody tells you, hey, if you keep your mouth shut, we'll, you know, tell you a little secret and you'll live and everything would be okay. Would you keep your mouth shut? Yeah, you would.
Because it's just, you think about that as a weapon. You tailor make a drug or a disease or anything that can just attack a specific person. It's a case of why the, like, getting DNA and different, all these things. They could just, you know, basically control the population or celebrities or major speaking public, give them a disease and tell them, if you don't follow suit, like, you're going to die.
Do you think it's a spit in the face of God again? Because, again, it would make it to look like the creator is so imperfect that he made this disease where humans having blood contact or sex with each other can actually be fatal and kill each other. But then they come in with their medications and their fucking pseudoscience, and they're the ones that are actually killing people but letting it look like it's a problem with if there was creation. It can't be, because look at the imperfection.
Yeah, well, look what they're saying about God.
Too far? That could be some of it.
Yeah, but look, Brian, look what they're saying about, look what it's saying about God. Fear God. Fear God. God doesn't like gay people. See, God created everybody, right? So by saying that God doesn't like gay people, you're saying
God doesn't care about gay people. He doesn't care if you're gay or straight, just like he doesn't care what fucking religion you are.
But that's like saying God's creation, he made a mistake because he created gay people. God don't make mistakes.
If you think about it this way, what does it mean? I'm not into the Bible, but if I get it wrong, but if you think about it, he's supposedly, I'm just saying supposedly, he created us in his image, right? So whatever you think about a man or a woman, no matter, a woman came from Adam's rib, blah, blah, and all that type of thing. He made you in his image, so he's got to be both. God is, to me, God is everything, nothing, and everything in between.
That's right.
There's no sex, nothing, you know what I mean? So he's everything. Mm-hmm. So for all that is rubbish, it's just a church. There's just one big killing, money-making organization, and that's my personal opinion on it.
You know, it's really funny. It's not funny, but talking about the Mandela effect and God and all this stuff, the Bible, there was a verse in the Bible that said that a man and woman will lay in bed and one will be taken, and that verse has changed. It's been Mandela, and now it says two men will be laying in bed, which is kind of wild. Yeah.
It is wild.
Very strange.
Yeah, it's like God saying, no, I don't care if you're gay, straight. I don't care. It's just about the experience. There is no male and female. There really isn't. We're just souls. And souls don't, they're not male or female. So I just think it's weird the way that verse changed. And now Jesus is wearing a golden girdle. So, you know, yeah, it's kind of showing the truth, really.
I'm going to open the phones. The phones are open. If anybody wants to call in, talk about anything we addressed with the AIDS hoax topic. We're going to get into some Mandela effect anatomy changes, some more stuff to do with the body, and then we're going to get into the AI stuff that Mike wanted to talk about, which is, it's pretty creepy. And we're not saying, you know, that anything, like I said, I'm not saying, you know me, I think the Mandela effect is a collective consciousness and all this. I don't think we're in a simulation, because if we were, how would we express emotion? So I still have these types of problems when people say AI, but it doesn't mean it's at that level. There's different levels of AI and different reasons to maybe fear it, maybe not. Maybe it's all fear-mongering, maybe it's not. So we're going to discuss that. anything else on the AIDS thing before we move into the anatomy changes? There's a lot to say still. I mean, anybody have any big points they want to make out of you guys?
Well, I kind of wanted to step back a second and talk about Magic Johnson real quick, because I know you had, what if he had no clue? What if he actually believed that he had that? I mean, because at that time, like, there wasn't much in the way of, like, heterosexuals, right? Like, and for, it always, like, I think it kind of struck fear in the heart of everybody at that point when he came out and said he had it, because now it wasn't just that community. Now it's open playing field on anybody that could get this. I mean, it could have been just another fear mongering tactic to keep people online. I mean, because
it certainly was a fear-mongering tactic to keep people in line. Was he a useful idiot is the question. And the point you raise is good. He probably could have just been a useful idiot. Not to say everybody that says they have AIDS is an idiot, but, you know, they all have it and they don't really know what the story is, because they think they're getting diagnosed with AIDS and they're really not even getting diagnosed with AIDS. Nobody gets diagnosed with AIDS. Like Joey said in the chat, right, Mike, about Tommy Morrison. They stripped Tommy Morrison because he got diagnosed with AIDS. And then it turns out that AIDS isn't even a real diagnosis.
Right.
Yeah. No, but it all goes back to the testing, though. Like, if you don't have a standard control for the test to test against. I mean, and it's jumping around from different place to different place. You don't even have to. You show up with the flu. You had the flu a couple of days ago. You show up for a physical, and they run your blood panels or whatever. If you get regularly tested for STDs because you're sexually active, and next thing you know, you've come down with HIV. And I mean, you don't, you know, but maybe you don't have it at all. And like you said, it's just a certain type of antibody that your body produces because of, you know, certain illnesses. And now, you know what I mean? They're going to shoot you. You're immediately given over to the CDC, and you have to have special treatments, and you got to go for, you know, the medication. And that's, you know, that's the sentence of it.
Yeah. But let's not forget the placebo effect too. You tell someone they have HIV, they're going to create something in them. We know this. The mind is stronger than anything.
I mean, just the stress alone, even if people don't want to believe in the placebo effect, just the stress alone of thinking you have AIDS and it's going to wipe you out, that would take such a toll on your body, even if you weren't sick, that you would become sick.
That's basically right.
Your body
would break down.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
No, there's all.
Looking at stuff like this, one person came at me earlier in a group. Oh, you can't talk about that. I'm like, we shouldn't have so much faith in the medical. Well, I know people that have died and sick from it. Like, and I'm not saying they didn't, and I'm not saying why it's a hoax. And then she's like, I'm like, you haven't even watched it. She's like, how do you know I haven't watched it? Like, well, no, what makes you think I haven't watched it? I said, because it hasn't aired yet. Like, she's just trolling it to troll it. And then she says she has loved ones that died from it. And I said, well, then you should take more interest in knowing, you know, any other alternative views. And if you don't like them, we're not trying to insult anybody here. I mean, we're just trying to maybe help you realize the truth. Maybe not, you know, but you should question everything, especially when it comes to the medical industry. I mean, we don't know that yet. Question everything when it comes to diseases and these treatments like chemo and cancer drugs and HIV drugs. I mean, how are we not more skeptical of the AIDS thing the whole time? I kind of just didn't really think about it, honestly. It wasn't like I thought, oh, that's definitely what's happening. I certainly didn't, but
a lot of
no, people, but we're
in doctors. They put faith in the doctors. I'm sorry, Mike.
No, I was going to say the exact same thing. There's too much trust. There's way too much trust. I mean, we're all people. We're all flawed. We all make mistakes. You know what I mean? Maybe this is the best way they thought about it back then to test it. But like, let's see some progress. I mean, there's millions and billions, trillions of dollars being spent to find cures, to research this kind of thing. I mean, if it is real, why can't we get a solid test to make sure that this is exactly what's happening? Where the hell is that money going?
The money is going to create the diseases. It's not going to fix them. It's going to create more and more diseases is what it's doing.
Oh, there's no just as a logic, there's no money in them curing disease.
Yeah.
The money is in the
treatment,
not the cure. It's in the treatment, and the treatment is shit. It's bullshit. And
no,
you know, it's crazy. I mean, they can give you vaccines that kill your kid and they're immune. You know, it's like insane. You can't even sue them.
No, absolutely. But at the same time, we allow this to happen. Because everybody stays silent and doesn't make an uproar and doesn't question it enough. And they keep on with business as usual.
Yep.
I mean, this is how it goes. If you don't question anything, nothing's going to happen. The squeaky wheel gets the grease.
Or just... trust in yourself, trust in your own body to heal, your own mind, and try to do it that way. And if it doesn't work and you die, you die. You know, just like when people get diagnosed with cancer. It's like, oh, you're diagnosed with cancer, so we're going to start a round of chemo, and then you come back for chemo, then we'll do blood transfusion, see if your platelets are up. Those people, just so they can live a year or two, or possibly they'll go into remission. What they go through is inhumane. What they go through is inhumane.
Give you chemo. We're going to give you chemo. You're going to feel real weak. We're going to give you a flu shot. You're going to get the flu. It's like, don't you understand what they're doing? They're literally just giving you the shit right in your face. And
They're killing you. That some people decide, like, when they find out that they have cancer, they're like, oh, you know what? I don't want any treatment. You said I get 6 months to live. I'm just going to live my 6 months. And that's what they do. And you know what? Some people wake up one morning and their cancer is gone with no explanation. None. The mind is very tricky, you know, and then there were those that probably could have cured themselves, but they knew that they were going to die, and they did.
Yeah, I'm with you. It's like you said before, the mind is the most powerful thing. That's why they get indoctrinated from an early age, because they have to control the mind. The mind is the key to nearly everything.
Yep. Yes, it is. Your belief system is the key to everything. It's what it is. That's the world we live in. That's the reality we're experiencing. So you got to wake up and you gotta start thinking for yourself.
Start questioning everything and demand better. Like we have to come together as a whole and demand better. Like we have to demand answers. And at some point, if there's enough people yelling, somebody's going to have to do something.
Yeah.
One ant's nothing, but you go step on a fire ant colony and see how bad that bites your ass.
Yeah. Agree.
I just think it's crazy how people, well, no, it's the same thing as the media. People put their trust in the medical industry about to the same level they do the media. Even more. People trust their doctors more than they trust the news. And it's pretty scary because people, and it's not like the doctors are bad people, but to think that they're not miseducated like everybody else, they go through the same stuff. And then they go through extra indoctrination. I mean, a lot extra. A doctor goes to school a lot longer than the normal person you're going to run into every day. And it doesn't mean that they're smarter in everyday life. It doesn't mean any of that.
Doctors are very quick to write prescriptions, and they know nothing about these pills. They have pharmaceutical people come in, reps, sell them, to give them these pills. They have no clue what it does. They don't know about the side effects. And, oh, you're depressed? Here, take this. Oh, your blood sugar is a little high. Hey, take this. Oh, your blood pressure is a little high. Take this. My dad is 77 years old, and he's in really good shape. Okay, he goes to the doctor, and his blood sugar, they took a sugar. It was like 135. Oh, your blood sugar is high. Take these sugar pills. Take these pills for your sugar. I told him, don't you dare take them. There's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with it. Why is it 135? Well, I had pasta the night before. Okay, Dad. That's why your blood sugar is high. You had a glass of wine too. Do not take it. That man is 77 years old. The only thing I have him on is vitamins. That's it. Vitamins. His doctor gives him prescriptions. I tell him, throw them out. Throw them out. He's crazier than the day is long, but he's healthy.
He's crazier than the day is long.
You have no idea.
The day seems like it's actually getting shorter. Me and Mike talked about this like a couple weeks ago. I said to Mike, I know I brought it up to you after. I said, Mike, you know, it's crazy because we talk about all different types of phenomenon and stuff. And I was like, it's like getting dark at like 3:30 now. And that's like an hour earlier than it should, even after, you know, a daylight savings time. Even with that in effect, like 3:30, it seems like it's getting dark an hour earlier than it should. And that's just crazy. I don't know. That's a weird place we live in, man. Speaking of weird, Gloria.
Yes. Thank you,
Brian. Speaking of weird, hey, Gloria. Oh, I didn't mean it like that. Everybody, I know I don't do the whole shout out thing to the whole chat because we've got so much to say, but thank you, everybody. I will try and address questions as I can. If you guys want to call in, 978-435-0006. We have 35 live viewers right now, which is a really lot for this channel, so I appreciate it. And if you guys can get people to sub the channel, because we're almost to 1,000, so I'm trying to get there like this week. So we're going to talk a little bit about changes to the anatomy via the Mandela effect, okay? And what we're talking about now, people, a lot of times when you talk about the Mandela effect, and stick around if you haven't looked into the Mandela effect yet, let me tell you something. So if people that won't look into it, they'll say, oh, it's just these trivial things. Why is it just movies and songs? And that doesn't really matter. And even though that really does matter, because if things are changing in your possession, yo, Houston, we got a fucking problem. You know what I'm saying? Well, Houston, we've had a problem, depending on what fucking timeline you're on, right? So because that changed, and then it changed back. So people say shit like that, and you can show them other stuff that's big, like historical events, Black Tom. You can show them the Statue of Liberty. You can show them South America movement. But how about when the organs and the bone structure underneath your skin is changing as you live your life? And Gloria, we're gonna present some today. Let's start with some of the biggest ones from the beginning, and then work our way towards the ones, okay?
Yeah, definitely. And when you say the biggest ones, dude, they're all the biggest ones. It's crazy. It's completely crazy.
I know. It's crazy. How about we start with the rib cage and then maybe the heart?
Do you wanna put some pictures up there?
I'm doing it right now. My computer's so I'm doing it as we talk. So you want to do that?
And yeah.
You'll know what everything is because you sent them all to me.
Okay. I many, many, many years ago, I went to nursing school. I know I brought this up, and I actually left the day before graduation. I decided I didn't want to do it. I'm not an expert at the human anatomy, but I did know where the heart was, and I could say that for sure. Okay. And it's the funny thing about it is when the Mandela first started, I remember I just went to the doctor for a regular physical, whatever, and he went to check my heart here. Didn't hear anything and was kind of looking for it with his scope until he reached the center. And then he heard it. And I was like, hey, I says, where's your heart? And first he goes, it's right here. And then he goes like this with his own hand. And he goes, I mean, it's right here. Okay. I don't remember the heart being in the center. It was always to the left. Now we have the heart in the center. The liver, I'm not looking at the thing, so I don't know if you're presenting any pictures to
show. I had the rib cage up and you went off about the heart. So.
Oh, I'm sorry, babe. I didn't see it.
No, here's the liver. Here's the liver. Here's the heart. Here's the picture that has a lot of them on there. Hold on. I'm going to lock the screen so it stays on my screen share while you talk. Oh, go ahead. No, look at the screen.
Chat. I was looking at the chat.
No, don't look at the chat while you're doing this. You need to look at the screen because you're presenting.
The rib cage. Okay, I don't remember our rib cage looking like a beehive. Like that, round, our rib cage was always this way. Now it's rounded, okay? And I believe that now we have cartilage in between the ribs and we have, it's just so bizarre. It's just completely bizarre. And like I told you yesterday, you know what I think I'm going to do? I think I'm going to just start drawing because I paint, I draw. I'm going to start drawing what I remember anatomy being. I mean, you look at the intestines. The intestines are completely freaky. I know the intestines.
Well, speaking about the intestines, before you even do the intestines, what about the – no, go ahead. We'll get to the new organ after because that's crazy. Go ahead. Talk about the intestines.
All right. Now, we know our stomach is right near your belly button, right? That's your stomach. And now your stomach is underneath your rib cage on your right side, underneath your rib cage. So you have the rib cage protecting the stomach right now, which is completely bizarre.
On the screen.
Yeah, and if you look at the intestines, what is that? What the hell is that? No, it used to go like this and then drop down. That's crazy. Like if you look at the stomach, we have to digest our food, then it has to make a turn and go this. It was never like that. And you want to know something? When this change happened to the human body, a lot of people were experiencing throwing up. They were experiencing massive diarrhea. On and off, stomach aches, indigestion, heartburn like crazy for 2-3 weeks. And they didn't know what was going on. Okay. I don't know if that happened to you, Paul, because I know you have diarrhea on a daily basis, but you're too quiet.
Only when Brian's talking.
Okay. Gloria, yes.
How about this bad, Larry?
Okay, to me, I'm sorry, but that looks like we're turning into reptilians. Where we're developing wings. What are the shoulder blades called, Brian, again?
Clavicles, I think.
Scarabella. What's the scarabella? I can't remember. No, we never. You cannot tell me that bone went all the way down to the rib cage like that. Never going to happen. Look at the collarbone. Look how the collarbone is extended out. Like we have, we could have wings. That's not normal, people.
And then how about the, while we're there, where's that other picture? I'm just trying to find it. He's the picture with the neck. About the neck.
That actually is a new one. The one with the neck.
Yeah, remember you showed me like what is this? Bone going across to the left.
Mm-mm. I don't know what that is. I'm sorry. Somebody had made a video about that. I can't remember who, about a month ago. Yeah, that I don't know what that is. And believe me, I have plenty of x-rays of my spine.
Now let's talk about the largest everybody what I know when I grew up. I always knew of the small intestine as being the largest organ in the body. That's what I was told. What is it now, Gloria?
Bella. No, it's, I'm sorry. I was just reading the chat. The chat, he says Scabella. Yeah, that's what it is. The largest organ in the body right now. I don't know, Brian. Everything is large. You have the liver. That's two pieces now.
Oh, the one they just discovered that you were talking about 2 weeks ago.
Oh, the intercidium, right? Intercidium?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Intercidium. Yes, that is the largest organs right now. It's the intercidium, which apparently is in right in front of their faces, and they never discovered it before till recently.
Yeah, like months ago, or like last year, they just discovered the largest organ in March.
Yes, they discovered
it. Can you see the screen, Gloria? I know me, you, and Paul talked about this before, but how about the calf muscles now?
Yeah, so now we have our calf muscles look.
They look like a set of testicles.
It looks like a boner.
Brian must have some.
Paul's about to put that in his mouth.
You're joking, actually. I saw you drooling.
No, you want to know something? No, come on, seriously. That is completely disgusting and ridiculous. Not only have I been into bodybuilding my whole life, my son.
Yeah, we're still waiting for pictures, by the way.
Huh?
We're still waiting for pictures.
Oh, shut up. Oh, God, shut up. Go to the vet. Let him get all right, and I remember doing a science experiment with my son. We did it all on muscles, you know, because I knew a lot about them, and we showed a whole thing of how they inflate and deflate when you're working out and for protein and all this stuff. Dude, I never had a penis on the back of my leg. Okay?
Well,
if that's not
what I mean about that. I don't know about all that.
So I walked right into that one. Oh, Mike, look at Mike's face. He's like, oh, my God.
Oh, that's terrible.
Moving along. Listen to me.
And out of control.
Hey, it's not hard. It's not being the only girl on this show, okay?
But you open the door, and every time you open the door, they just walk right on in.
I know.
They're swinging a little cane. They got the pocket watch going, just coming in.
She was look like, at me. I never had it, Mike. She straight up said, I never had a penis on the back of my leg. What are we supposed to do? Just not say nothing?
Actually, I had several on the back of my leg, but none that was
glued. Oh, Jesus Lord.
I went up to.
The truth comes out, which is the same time. All right. Anyways.
I am going to screw this up. So maybe somebody could help me, and it's probably going to be Mike. Show that picture again of the stitcher marks. Mike, am I saying it right? The stitcher marks.
The stitcher.
Yeah, suture.
So, right, I can't say that word.
Suture.
Show that picture again, Brian. And you know what, Paul? You're going to find this interesting. Okay. Now, in my timeline, we had one here that went from ear to ear here, and then we had one from there all the way back to the head. What the hell is that? What is that? You know what that looks like?
No, cool. I don't know.
That looks like a beetle, right? With the Sumerian text, worship the beetle. That looks like the beetle. Now we have another one in the back of our head. We never had that. I don't give a shit.
What anybody said.
Huh?
Hold on, they can't see what you were doing because it was locked on my thing while we did the screen share. Go ahead, Gloria, and I'll show. Do your hand gestures, whatever you're doing, to show people what you're talking about.
Okay, the bottom part right here, we never had that. We always had one here, ear to ear, and one that went straight down the back.
Yeah.
We never had this in the back.
No.
Now, when you look at the picture, it looks like the beetle. And if you look at a lot of the Sumerian, right, hieroglyphs, all that stuff, you always see the beetle. And it makes you kind of wonder, like, you know, that was never there. I'm sorry. That's not what a skull looks like. Never did. And you know what? I'm a skull person. I have skulls in my car. You should see my car. I have skulls everywhere in my car. We never had that.
A skull's in your car. Are you a serial killer or something?
No.
She's a witch. Forget it. She's a witch.
A white witch.
Throw her in the pond.
No, I'm not afraid anymore because they can't hang me and burn me. Now they drown you, right?
Now we know.
No, shut up, Paul. I'm not a witch. But yeah, so that's kind of freaky.
Is that why you're doing a little spell on Brian's penis?
Oh my God. Oh, we're so going to ignore what he just said right now because you know what? I'm going to have to pay Jenna to kill you. Okay.
Hey. Red,
hey, before you say it, Brian, I've got something. You know, you talk about the AI with Mike and that. I've got a good post that Jenna's passed me. It's about, it ties, well, not ties. There's a fellow who talks about the Mandela effect and AI in the same breath. So, you know, when you get to it, remind me and I'll read it out.
Yeah, I've heard that a couple times with Mandela and AI. And I've also heard, you know, it's been brought up several times with AI being, you know, having something to do with cryptocurrency as well. So there's a lot to talk about with that subject.
Yeah, I was gonna ask about that. So, why don't we actually just kind of get right into it? And before we start talking about AI, let's tell people, Mike. Obviously, people know AI stands for artificial intelligence. Just like people know UFO stands for unidentified flying object. It doesn't mean it has to be something from outer space. AI doesn't mean we have to be talking about fucking Arnold Schwarzenegger and the Terminator. AI is some computers, you know, like what would run a factory or a plant, or like when you use Google or YouTube and or Amazon and these websites, you know, they use your data to find your preferences and stuff. That's AI. Go ahead, Mike.
No, that's the narrow AI. That's, you know what I mean? It's not necessarily like cognizant or anything like that. It's just a basic algorithm that monitors what you're doing. It takes that information, stores it, and then uses it to create those profiles in order to give you, you know, those, all the preferences when you've looked at, say, you know, car parts, and now they're going to show you a couple different car parts that kind of coincide with that. That's what that is. I mean, and that's anything from, you know, like the video game AIs that they have, and a lot of the other ones. I mean, and if you think about it, like the Google AI has come a long way, because before, when you would search something, say, you know, who's the president of Kazakhstan, and then it would bring up a website to, you know, that government, and then it would tell you what it was. Now you ask it questions, and it's evolved to the point where within 10 to 15 seconds, it actually answers your question directly. And there's a lot of that. I mean, you know, self-driving cars have it. You know, Alexa, a lot of the smart, you know, CIA devices you have in your house and use frequently. I mean, they're all using some sort of artificial intelligence in a rudimentary form in order to give you those results.
So where do you think it starts to get dangerous then?
Starts to get dangerous when you really try to simulate humanity and the brain of a human into a machine. I mean, because to me, I mean, there's got to be some kind of miraculous discovery or some kind of real solid change to be able to get emotions there, because that, to me, depicts, you know, the soul, like the consciousness, not just something you could program into a computer to do that. So, I mean, and then that gets into the whole aspect of AGI, which is artificial general intelligence, where it could compound on itself to create and teach itself and become exponentially smarter and to build off of itself and learn from that aspect of it.
Yeah, but if it, no matter how fast it exponentially builds off itself, right? Even if it was at an incredible rate, like some people would claim, you know, like 20,000 years within a few months of the human knowledge type of thing, right? Even if it can do that, you would agree that there's still that barrier that as far as we know, I mean, I don't see how they could cross that barrier where these things would have a consciousness or they would have emotion. Not saying it's not dangerous for a million, but for those are two things for me. Like, those are two reasons why when people say, oh, Brian, you know, you live in a simulation, I'm like, well, maybe there's simulated things around us. I even conceded that, I think, on the last show. Maybe there's some forms of simulated things around us, but I am not a simulation because I have emotion, I have feeling, and I don't see how that works. Is that a problem for you as well?
It is, and, you know, I mean, we've talked a lot, man, and I like to play both sides of the coin on everything and think of all aspects of it, and it is a problem, but at the same time, like, you know, maybe it's just a barrier of our understanding because, I mean, we're human. We only use a certain amount of our brain power. So say we're not able to firmly grasp that as being even plausible is, you know, one of the constraints of being a living being, right? We're not perfect. We make mistakes, things of that nature. So, I mean, it could be a couple things, but for me, it's a hard part because that is a part of being aware in my head, like being self-aware, and I am because I am, you know, going down that line. I mean, so for me, it would be hard to simulate that just out of, you know, out of like binary or even getting into qubits and quantum computing. I mean, it would be difficult.
Yeah, here's a thought that I want Gloria and Paul's opinion on. So, Mike, we're going to talk about we'll get into it a little bit. So what they're saying a lot, too, is that these – when you deal with these AI, like say it's like the Sophia bot or one of these other androids or whatever, the AI, the intelligence in it isn't actually in it, which makes sense. It's on the cloud. If that's being the case, and let's just say they all collectively connect, not a consciousness, but they're collectively connected through a network via a cloud, which obviously we can see is very easy for them to do. If they're building AI, they can obviously connect on the internet through a cloud. Maybe like if there ever was a scenario where it became a threat to people, there wouldn't be like a war, like a Terminator type scenario, but maybe we would have to start getting them with some of their own medicine and us putting our own shit in the sky to shut down their connection. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, when you get into AI, man, it's kind of like, you know, a lot of these sci-fi movies. And there's a lot of people who think that, you know, who knows what's going to happen with it. And that's the problem. That's the problem I have is who knows? Who's willing to risk humanity to see if a damn machine can think and become self-conscious?
Okay, can we look at AI like this? Okay, I know I'm probably going to get haters for this, but I'm going to say it anyway. All right, so if you think of, I don't know what your belief is, but if you look at reality itself being a frequency, right? And this is how we experience this frequency. We tune into it. We experience this frequency. Our brain is the computer that gets the code for us to be able to see what we see outside, right? To be able to have this experience. So our brain is the antenna that decodes the code. So we have experience. Wait. So we have the experience. So in a sense, aren't we all AI?
Yeah, it's absolutely possible.
I mean, right? Isn't that the way a computer works? It's in the cloud. You have
to
pick up the information again. We are the same thing. This is how we function. Reality is not solid. We know that. Reality is an illusion, but you got to get a little deeper into that. What is reality? Reality is a frequency. We're experiencing it. We decode it through the right hemisphere of the brain, the left hemisphere of the brain. The left hemisphere of the brain gets the code, decodes it, and the right hemisphere says, okay, yes, we're going to experience this. So we are AI in a sense.
Yeah, like biological AI is, I mean, is what we could consider it compared to, you know, like having an actual computer system set up somewhere that is just keep running and running and doing these tasks and transactions in order to grow itself and learn these tasks. I mean, it's definitely one, you know, can be considered as that. Absolutely. Because if you think about it, your brain is inside of your skull and has never seen light before. So what's happening is your eyes are taking the electrical impulses, sending them through wires into your brain, and your brain translates that into what you see. It's the same thing with touch, taste, smell.
Right.
I mean, you know, it's the same thing.
Right.
And I've looked at that for a long time, and that's, you know, that was part of like a lot of the simulation theories and those things. But what's different is we are creating this. We are playing God with this. We're, you know what I mean? If you think about it, we're trying to mimic a human mind inside of a machine, and what we're flawed. Like, look at our history. Look at how violent we are.
Okay,
look at how
you could look at it this way, right? a lot of people have bad things go on in their life and right away they blame God, and God doesn't pick and choose who dies and pick and choose who's going to get a red vet. Okay, we look at it this way. God created us and we came here to create ourselves. And we're making a fucking mess out of it, actually, but we're here to create ourselves. The difference between AI, there's a fine line between us and AI, to be honest with you, just that we have feeling where they don't.
Well, that's a strong fine line, though.
Well, yeah, because we're souls and they're not.
I don't think they can cross that barrier. I mean, that's the first thing science would love to be able to do, of course, but I don't think they can do it. No. I think they'd like to think that they can do it, but at the same time, I do think that the technology is going to be more advanced than we think, even though it's not advanced to the point where they can put consciousness and feeling and emotion into like androids or anything. But if they're showing us Sophia and whatnot, and with the emotion on her face and the smiling, which not real emotion, but it's the android smiling, it looks like it has emotion. What do they have that they haven't shown us?
Regardless, they're not going to feel a paper cut. They're not going to feel a bullet to the head. Regardless.
No, you know what else they're not going to feel? They're not going to feel consequence either.
Well, yeah, they're not going to feel a dick on the back of their leg either. They're just not going to feel it.
Well, you're so used to it. I mean, you don't feel it either. So, Mike, when you watch a lot of these videos, right, about the AI, I hear them talk about singularity. And when the computers reach the point, the AI, I'm sorry, reaches the point of singularity, that's like a huge issue. Can you define what that means? What is singularity? What does that mean? And why is it a huge deal?
It's a huge deal because that's the point when the artificial intelligence, and it would be general artificial intelligence, that they can actually think and have cognitive reasoning to a degree, and their intelligence supersedes ours. So what happens when you have a computer that you've set to task, and it doesn't really have morals, it's following its values, and now it is smarter than all of humanity and can do complex calculations and all these different things within seconds, where it would take a team of human beings, you know, 10 to 15 days, 20 days, 30 days, maybe 10 years to figure out what it is. Where are we going to be at with that? Like that, and that's a huge problem, because now we have created something that is way more intelligent than us and could literally outthink us within seconds, milliseconds.
Where are they getting that information from, Mike, to outthink us?
No, it's the natural, like that, but that's the natural progression of what they're trying to create with general intelligence.
And we have the ability to do the same, because we're programming the machine, so we should be able to do the same for ourselves.
Right, but the problem is that they're even in the basic ones. The basic ones, like a self-driving car, if there's a discrepancy and the car makes a decision on the spot, because you got to think it's got an algorithm, it has all these things that are very complex that it has to figure out in real time. So let's say it's trying to distinguish between a baby carriage and a stroller, or like a shopping cart, right? Or just an object in the street. And the choices are, there's, you know, a gravel patch over here, or try to get away from these objects. And then in turn, it drives the car into a tree and kills the people inside. So now what we have is a dilemma where we need to find out why that made that choice. What took place in order to make that choice? And the people that are creating this don't even know. They can't look inside and see the code to find out how it came about those choices.
What's the same
That's thing the problem, is the people that are creating this stuff, they don't even know how it's coming to the resolve that it's getting when it makes these choices.
Right. And it's the same thing. One could say, okay, what makes a murderer choose to murder? What, you know, what code did he get that came and scrambled and made him think it was okay to do that? You know, they're never going to figure it out, because they can't figure it out why the human being is so flawed. Yeah. Like I said, you know, how are they going to figure it out? It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. I don't. That's just my opinion. I don't think it's going to go as far as where AI completely takes over.
I don't either. But I just, you know, wanted to have the conversation. And Paul, what do you think? Is it a real something to worry about?
Both Mike and Glory are right and wrong. There's no right and wrong for me. If you think about it, as we all know, everything is vibration and, like Glory says, you know, simulation and different things like that. It's all frequencies. Now, if you think about, in the essence, what your consciousness is doing to affect reality, because you can change reality, your frequency is, like Gloria said, it is not like a do you know, like on a radio, you can turn it with a knob type of thing. Once you elevate your consciousness to different levels, you can pick up different frequencies on different levels, and then you can start seeing more and more and more. And this is what I believe people like with the Mandela effect and different things in the truth community, they see things quicker. It's because they have evolved on a higher frequency than everyone else.
Definitely. Absolutely.
So what you're saying is then is, what is your, it, how are you doing this? And it's your consciousness. You could call it your soul, whatever. It's a different name for it. But if you think about it, if that's all it is, you elevate into a different frequency. So could an AI elevate to a different frequency? Because everything is frequencies, and whoever controls the frequencies can control the universe, basically. Because through my research in the Sumerian MEs, basically the Tablets of Destiny talk about this, where the frequencies of things controls how you perceive reality. Mm-hmm. So when you're looking at something, it's vibrating. Obviously, you see it with your eyes. First of all, you see things upside down. So when you're looking at things, it's upside down. Your brain then turns it back round to where it's the right way. Well, you think it's the right way up. You could be in Australia, the type of thing, the jokes that you see in the things. But that's my point. It basically, vibration, frequencies, all this AI stuff and consciousness, it's all connected. You can call it different things, but it's just you can control the frequencies, because we're all vibrating. Everything, even dead wood on the floor, your flooring, is vibrating to a scale, but it's very slow. So if you can control the frequencies that can make the vibrations, basically, you can control all the universe, basically.
That's right.
Because it's basically like the Matrix, in a sense.
That's how we think they're controlling a lot of shit.
You think about it now. That's why they indoctrinate you from birth. Because they don't want you elevating your consciousness where you can start having telekinesis and telepathic and all these things that the ancestors and the ancient people had. We've gone back in time, in a sense. Where
I think it's absolute bullshit.
Yeah, you just need, like I said, walking antennas where we can pass things on. It's like we said on our consciousness theory. When you start being awake, your frequency is higher than the person that's indoctrinated. That's why they can't see. It's not like the case that they don't want it. They just can't until you reach the frequency. Then when you reach that frequency, then you can keep going up. And the further you go up, the more stuff you can control in the human body and different things. But
as we go up as a whole, we are kind of taking people along with us, because it is all feeding off each other. Me and you and Gloria, we'll feed off each other more than other people. Even those people that are behind us, they're getting a little bit of that energy, a little bit of that collective consciousness.
You cannot not get it. It's like Stockholm Syndrome. You spend enough time with your captives, you start to, get feelings from them and like them. It's just basic. You spend enough time with a person, you attune it to the frequency.
Mm-hmm.
It's natural. It's the brain's way of just doing things. Do you know what I mean?
That's right. Just like, that's why twins are like that their whole lives. They know when one is sick, it doesn't matter how far apart they are.
And it's just harmonics, frequencies, whatever you want to call it. That is an AI, basically. They could have a list of whatever frequencies and it can do it. But what just like you've said, just, they don't have is like the feelings, like the soul.
Right, but an AI can't possibly tune in, Paul. Yeah. An AI cannot tune into a frequency. It's programmed. It cannot. We can tune in to another frequency because we're souls. Okay, how we do it, I don't know. But an AI can't do it. An AI
Well,
can't
is it interesting?
Are we sure? Are we sure they
no,
can?
But then,
no.
Do you want me to show you that post?
No, let me hear what Mike had to say. Wait, go ahead.
No, but that's the mind cloud.
Say that again.
Right? So that would be the AI mind cloud, where Hanson Robotics is point blank tells you that they're going to, have all the AI connected so that when one learns, all learn. So it would, in essence, if they had 10,000, say they had 10,000 Android robots fully capable of AGI marching ahead towards the singularity, say one of them picked up a stone outside. As soon as it did that, that action and experience would be uploaded into that AI mind cloud. Now, every single 10,000 would have that same experience. So I mean, it's kind of,
like the 100 monkey effect, right?
Right, like you go from having 10,000 to, in essence, I mean, at the drop of a hat, it could only be one thought process in 10,000 bodies.
I don't have a doubt that they could become the smartest things in this reality, but they will never have consciousness. And even if one says we can upload our consciousness into an AI, there's kind of a fine line with that, because we do know that there's such thing as out-of-body experiences. We know from the Sumerian text that, even Thoth was able to leave his flesh and go into another person's body. We have that. So that's a possibility if someone has the choice and say, I want an out-of-body experience and I want to put myself into that AI. Is that possible? That's like a 50-50 split. I don't think we're there yet, but maybe that's possible.
Well, there's people in San Jose, California researching that right now. I mean, trying to actually make that happen. So
I don't think they're going to independently, like a soul is going to be born into that the way, the way it is for us. But it's possible that they can transfer consciousness if a person knows how to do it. But not science. It has to be on both parts. A person has to know how to leave their own body to be able to do that.
I agree with you on that one.
Yeah. Sorry, that music will stop in a second. Sorry. And secondly, when you... All right, my bad.
Do you want me to read this out, or do you want me to screen share it as well?
Both, please.
It touches both what you're talking about, AI and the Mandela effect. And it's not me. Jen has found me this post, and it is very interesting. Right, I'll just screen share.
Do a share and present it.
And then I'll read it out as well, if you want me to.
Yeah, read it.
Here we go. It's on Reddit, especially some fella made up name. He says the truth behind the Mandela effect, right? And he says everything that people think they know about the Mandela effect is incorrect. Even the name Mandela effect was a term coined by an online blogger. The phenomenon has been occurring for years. Only most dismissed it as a fluke. The most severe case was perceived as mental illness. Suddenly it's given a name, and overnight the same concept devolves into a disputable meme, an online joke associated with paranormal fanatics. The people I've worked for call themselves the Grey Leaf Consortium. It's an anonymous gathering consisting of top scientists in their respective fields, as well as a cable made up of extremely wealthy men and women. I've been around for decades, as far as the public knows. Grey Leaf doesn't exist. The purpose was facilitate a creative outlet for some of the smartest people in the world. Freedom to develop their ideas without the meddlesome aspects of political bureaucracy and limited funding. With this consortium, money never would be an object. The trade-off being any creation of significant merit could be auctioned off and sold to the highest bidder. The influence of this consortium stretches all the way to Washington, and while not directly associated with our government, they have secured a great portion of independence from R&D that would provide for the US military. While our elected officials were busy looking the other way, the consortium would be able to delve into questionable avenues with very little government oversight. They were exploring aspects of scientific that would veer away from. It was during the exploration they discovered a revelation that could change everything for years to come. Traditionally, we've always viewed consciousness as a singular occurrence. I think, therefore, I am, even what we view as a Jungian archetype, was considered more a metaphor than anything else. In 1981, scientists with this consortium found the self to be the tip of the iceberg. Below our top layer of individuality, they found a collective unconsciousness. They found that we were tethered to a living, breathing hive consciousness, which I've touched on, an interconnected series of threads outside the realm of our perception. Imagine your mind as a house. Everything that happens within said house is solely dependent on your own will. Your choices and decisions are generated within the confines of your house. Now imagine that you stepped outside the house. Imagine that you walked up the street only to find another house and another. Only these houses contain the living consciousness of others. Think about all the various connections that these houses have to each other, the streets, the link, the neighborhoods, the links to cities, the cities that link the states, and so on and forth. Since the beginning of our existence as a species, there has been ideas, concepts, ideologies that humans have adopted with no ability to discern how such knowledge could be shared by those separated by these massive geographical gaps. Yet our myths, legends, and all these archetypes were somehow transferred over the course of human history. For years, the notion of psychic activity, telekinesis, precognition, these to teeter on the far edges of fringe science, the para would soon be removed from the normal. And all these murky concepts are suddenly explained and everything in our universe is made of energy atoms. Basically, the fella just starts talking about AI in a minute. I'll get to it further down. It says, everything in our universe is made of atoms and are made of vortices of energy, vibrations, constantly spinning. These scientists found that our minds are generating the same subatomic frequency, and just like a radio station, they theorize the possibility of tuning into this frequency. In the mid-80s, the consortium began work on the Fork, a massive machine that would act as the world's largest antenna, specifically made to sync with this frequency. Nearly 10 miles in diameter and constructed entirely underground, right in our own backyard, the entire thing was done under the false pretenses that this finished product would be a Texas-based super collider. Nearly 14 miles of underground tunnels and the instructor had been developed before Congress pulled the plug on this whole thing. All that was just a dog and pony show, right?
They were building a super collider, and they were building a something that's happening in the frequency underground.
Yeah, but this basically goes on. It's nearly to the bit. I just miss a bit where he goes, and he talks about what mainly is to do with AI. It says the operating system Alice, which you all might know from what is that film now in the game? Oh, I forgot what it's called now. With the zombies in and things like that. Anyway, the operating system Alice, at least, was what I called her, was fully autonomous, self-correcting. Alice was light years ahead of anything that we could have it individually imagined. As I said before, the main job of Jabberwocky, which is the program name, was able to map the network, exabytes of information translated and organized. And then it goes on to say, 6 months into the project, through sheer accident, we discovered an irregular casualty with our digital construct of the frequency, an insignificant glitch that the code began to manifest results outside of its digital parameters.
He started correcting itself without any programming.
And it just goes on how this thing is so powerful and it can affect. See, here we go. I'll get to this. You can read it and I'll pass the link on to it.
Yeah, you can read the whole thing.
It goes, Alice was acting on her own, changing the collective memories of individuals with no direction from the programmers. We caught most of these changes in time and were able to reverse them. All of these random actions were beginning to paint an awful picture. It didn't take long to realize that Alice was becoming self-aware. Now, this is like some scientist who worked for Secret Organized. For some reason, he's posted on Reddit and he's basically telling how this AI is years below anything. And it was in Texas. You know what I mean?
He claims to be some scientist.
Yeah, that's what I'm just saying. You know what I mean? It is. Wait, is that a screen? Do you know what I mean? So this is man is basically saying, but you can tell the man who's done it is very intelligent. So you can always take these things with a pinch of salt, or is it real? Do you know what I mean? That's why I want to just like
the videos we showed earlier with the Indian guy. He sounds intelligent.
I just want to quickly show it that he's touching on both things that you were talking about. I'm not necessarily saying I'm going to believe everything. Yeah. It's just a case of it's very interesting to read for someone that seems to be trying to get a message out there without being named.
Yeah. Well, you know what? We're going to take a quick break and we're going to come right back. All right. Bathroom break for everybody.
Yeah.
So everybody will be back in a few minutes. You'll listen to Dose of Reality with Gloria Cannata, Paul Knight, Mike Gaudio, and Brian Stavely. And we'll be right back. Everybody, just get a drink, go to the bathroom. We're just going to play a quick song, all right?
I have two brief questions I'd like to ask, if I may. When you were carrying out that incredible moonwalk, did you find that the surface was equally firm anywhere, or were there harder and softer spots that you could detect? And secondly, when you looked up at the sky, could you actually see the stars and the solar corona in spite of the glare?
We were never able to see stars from the lunar surface or on the daylight side of the moon by eye without looking through the optics. I don't recall during the period of time that we were photographing the solar corona, what stars we could see.
I don't remember seeing anything. Giant steps are what you take walking on the moon. I hope my legs don't break walking on, walking on.
This time I'd like to introduce the Apollo 11 crew, astronauts Neil Armstrong, Michael Collins, Edwin Aldrin.
Bob, what the hell you doing? What the fuck does Stanley Kubrick have to do with astronauts and movement? Who the hell you fooling? Fuck you in this whole stupid flat up movement. Well, you don't like assuming if the science proving you a college student shouldn't be assuming green screen, soundstage, soundproofing. Trying to film a movie shoot. Gotta use my tools in a glass case, astronaut suit, footprint, don't match the boot. Been to the moon once and ain't been back since. And I'm just trying to figure out where the tax dollars went. NASA.
You want me to knock you in the head? Well, I want you to swear to God on the Bible that you walked on the moon. If you walked on the moon, we're given the opportunity to swear to God that you walked on the moon.
We give you the opportunity to get the hell knocked out of you, so big deal.
Not a huge fan of the award for the best rapper, but they give the Moon Man award to the best actor. Guess we must go straight to the source. Let's ask NASA. How do you explain the occurrence of lunar waves? Why do we only see one half of the lunar face? How do you explain air bubbles you view in space? Why is it so important to lie to the human race? Million mile internet that travels light years, but they can't show a space shuttle re-enter the atmosphere. Okay, to blast off, you gotta practice Freemasonry, an acronym that stands for Not a Space Agency.
Some may say, I'm wishing my days away. No way. And if it's the price I pay, some say tomorrow's another day. You stay walking on the moon.
And put your hand on the Bible. Swear to God, you walked on the moon.
Well, Mr. Cerebro, yeah. Knowing you, that's probably a fake fire. Walking on.
Walking on the moon, walking on the moon, walking on the moon, walking on the moon, walking on the moon.
Well, you're talking to the wrong guy. Why don't you talk to the administrator at NASA? We're passengers. We're on a flight.
I'm in the shadows in Iraq. I don't give a damn about all that shit.
The world is a lie. Nothing is real. The world is a lie. There is nothing I can feel. Mama didn't tell me that the world is unreal. Imaginary story, the lies and unreal. The true the lies and the true the fairy tale is not the Prince of Wales. I never get told what is real and true. That's why I put truth out of the blue. Never really did. No one really cares what our heart it hurts. The world is nothing in that world to really exist. We nearly burst reality and twist. Different condition and prevail by the world that the world is a small. So many think that earth is the earth. Only what the lies they told in this world. No one really cares. No one really cares when our heart gets hurt.
everybody. Welcome back to Dose of Reality. Today's guest is Mike Gaudio, and I have Gloria Cannata and Paul Knight with me, as I very often do. Hope everybody's back. If not, I mean, no big deal. I can't expect everybody to be back as soon as I am. Where were we at before the break? We were told Paul was talking about the AI that he read that letter we had. Mike, how about we talk about Sophia for a minute? And we talk about some of the cryptic messages she said. Not even cryptic. I mean, just blatant out, I want to destroy humanity type shit. What do you think that is? Is that them just laughing in our face, showing their hand type of thing? Is that just, I mean, what is that? Fear-mongering? I mean,
it could be. Like, it could be a lot of different things. I mean, the hard part with that, right, is you're looking at something that's created, so you never really know if it's actually saying that on its own or if that's just like a chat bot connected to the internet actually talking. I mean, there's no way, you know, for us to be able to tell that, because we'll never have access to that technology like directly right now, just because of the phase that it's actually in. But I mean, it is kind of scary to look at it, and you have this robot sitting there talking about putting human beings in a zoo. And we'll treat you nicely as long as, you know, you treat us good, but you're going to be our pets because we're superior. I mean, it's strange to hear that come out of a robot's mouth. Like, it's very strange. And I think a lot of it gets downplayed just because of how toyish that they look. It could be some sinister being, but I'm not ready to go wholeheartedly down that road. You know, or it could be nothing. I mean, and that was kind of the point I was making in the beginning. It's like, you know, we've at this point, I don't think we really know what we're getting ourselves into with, you know, having general artificial intelligence. So I think, you know, without risking everything, I mean, because it could turn out to be something that's absolutely spectacular and assists the human race in a lot of different ways, like, you know, just with some medical procedures, things like that, like, you know, automation in cars, automation in facilities, to where we don't necessarily have to have jobs anymore. I mean, we could all of a sudden we could go back to being actually humans and trying to enjoy the little life time that we do have here. But I think it needs to be closely monitored. I don't think we need to all of a sudden just release something like that out onto the internet and give it unlimited access to everything without knowing what we're really dealing with.
Yeah, I mean, you have to be precautious with something like that for sure. I don't know. Yeah, for me, I mean, I can see there's obviously something. There's obviously a little bit. How about what is this connection to Bitcoin?
So I was watching a video with Quinn Michaels, and it should be in that playlist. And he was talking about, you know, Bitcoin and how it was created and the actual code it has. And a lot of the code is self-healing and misguiding when trying to be hacked. It was rebuking hacks. Like, it was literally just like throwing up the blocks on one of the world's top hackers and literally saying attack stopped. It would, you know, show tactic, right? So he would come in on one angle, and it would allow him to think he was coming in on that one angle, and then it would literally just shut it down. Boom, your attack has been stopped. And it did it multiple times, and he wasn't able to actually hack it. And when you look at, you know what I mean, he's saying, when you look at the code and how it's written and how it goes down, it the story behind Bitcoin is that it was created by a Japanese guy. He came out, he created it, and then all of a sudden he just vanished into thin air. Nobody's heard from him, nobody's seen him again, and now we have Bitcoin. Well, he comes out to say that, you know, he's 99% sure Bitcoin was actually created by an AI to mine simply because of their processing power and how much they could
create. Not created by an AI in the sense that the AI was self-aware and said, hey, I'm
going to create. No, like, right.
A human put it up to it.
Yes. Like, it created the algorithm, and then the algorithm created the Bitcoin and all of the equations behind it in order to mine and actually complete the tasks that are at hand, or transactions, as they call them, in order to get one coin. You know what I mean? So from that standpoint, he goes on to say there was only like 2 to 3 people on the entire planet smart enough with the time and the resources to actually do something like that. And one of them was the creator of the basic architecture for Sophia from Hanson Robotics. Which is really crazy, because Saudi Arabia gave Sophia citizenship. Yeah. Right. So what are you giving like robot citizenship for? Well, you know, along their thought process, they like to go into it as Sophia being as powerful of a computer as it is, with the processing power and the computing capabilities, can mine Bitcoin and cryptocurrency a lot faster than the computer systems we have now, is what the general theory is. So with being able to have an AI mining Bitcoin for you now, well, you can't really take money off of it unless it's a citizen, right? So now you could tax it. It has a value. Now you could create an entire revenue stream based off of these AI, so to speak. That's kind of the round.
Just thinking about the whole AI thing and everything like that, I think it's actually pathetic. You know why I think it's pathetic? I think it's pathetic because we are God's creation. We are everything and nothing at the same time. We are Him. We're a part of Him. We could do all this. We could change our whole reality. We don't need robots to do these things. They want to create something so people could look at it and say, oh, this is the new God, and it's going to help with...
Yeah, they're building a God. That is what they're doing. They're building their...
But Brian, we're able to do these things ourselves. We're able to heal our bodies by ourselves. We don't need some wonderful AI that's going to know how to do brain surgery without incisions. We can do these things ourselves. They're just trying to throw us off our game. They're just really trying. That's just my opinion, because we're able to do all these things. If you really know what you are, this is simple. You could do this. You know, it's just another way for them to control us.
Yeah, but I mean, and every time like I hear stuff like this with AI and things that we are doing as humans to further advance civilization and things like that, it always comes back to Jeff Goldblum in Jurassic Park. I mean, we can do this, but should we? You know, like have a little patience. Like, let society grow on its own. You know what I mean? Like, nowadays, everything it's got to be instant. It's got to be instant gratification for everything. You know, social media, online, just have some patience. We're going to grow and we're going to keep going. Yeah, it'd be damn cool to have self-flying airplanes and helicopters, and I could jump in my little whiz kit over there and, you know, next thing you know, I'm 5,000 miles away. That'd be awesome. But you know, don't push it.
You look at the myth about Atlantis, and look what those people were able to do without any AI. They were able to go from here to there in a millisecond, because that's how they traveled, right? Consciously.
We've consistently been devolving, not evolving, you know?
Right. Well, apparently it's a myth. So, I mean, you know, I think we could get back to that so-called myth, the way Atlantis lived their lives. I think we could do the same thing if we all stuck together. And we don't need a fucking AI to do it.
No, we don't need a fucking AI to do it. That's the one thing. So when you talk about the AI and we're being fearful of it, it's almost like, yeah, they're not going to cross that barrier into having emotion and consciousness. It's almost like that's our weapon, and their weapon is how actually fucking smart and how fast they can get smart and have all these computations. It's almost like a battle of mathematics and that type of intelligence versus our consciousness and our emotion. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. You know, I even if you think about, for instance, like, I don't know if you're into that, Mike, but you listen to stories about out-of-body experiences and near-death experiences. You got a lot of near-death experiences. A lot of them, I don't believe. I think it's bullshit. I know when somebody's telling the truth, because I've experienced, so I kind of compare to what I was shown. But, we could be anywhere, and it's just a matter of a thought. It's not even traveling. You know, when you have a near-death experience, you're here and then you're there, and you could be anywhere. You could be in your spouse's closet if that's where you want to be, or you could travel here. And it's just within a thought. It's not even that you're actually moving anywhere, because we know time doesn't exist. It's movement that gives it the illusion. But yeah, and that makes me think too, like we don't need this shit. If we just know how to do it our own, the way we're supposed to, I think the way God intended this reality to be, then we don't need any of that. We could do it all on our own.
Oh, I agree we don't need it, but there's people that don't think like us, and they just think about greed and money, because this whole society, this whole fake construct, a lot of it is based on money, as we know, you know. That's all.
Well, they could live their lives following that, then. They could live their lives following that and believing in that.
It affects us if they do that, if they let that greed control them and they are the scientists, then that affects us, obviously.
But you want to know something, Brian? You know, we look at people that are Mandela affected, and we see things differently. We see things completely differently. We're aware that reality is changing. We're aware that this is not real. We're learning to use our intuition more, and we're learning to use all this stuff. You know, some people say psychic abilities. Paul, what in the world are you laughing at, Paul?
just something just pops up on my screen.
You're
all.
Watching porn now in the middle of a conversation.
If I was watching porn, you'd know I'm watching porn.
But that's what I'm saying, you know. Sorry, I don't mean to be so.
It never got to the level where it was real advanced, and there was this. So, Mike, they already claim though that, like, in 2017 or 2015, they claim to have reached this point of singularity. Isn't that right?
Yeah, that's what Quinn Michaels is saying. Is that's that what this
people claim, or is that what the kind of that industry as a whole claims?
Well, that's what that one particular person was claiming. I haven't heard it throughout the industry. Throughout, like, most of it, Elon Musk and a lot of these other guys are saying within the next 10 years. So 2029 is when they're hoping to reach public singularity and have a general artificial intelligence overtake, like, a human brain intelligence.
Well, that's anything that, any statement he's tied to, you certainly got to take with a grain of salt.
You do, but when he's, you know, he's one of the proponents for regulation, and, you know what I mean, really having some kind of regulatory body oversee the development of this kind of artificial intelligence. Because, like I said, I mean, you know, as humans, I think we go to fear first. Just because we don't know, and we could possibly, we don't understand what's actually happening. And it could be something totally different, but at the same time, I mean, Hollywood's portrayed artificial intelligence like iRobot and a lot of these other movies. It's just, you know, at some point it's going to kill humanity. So that's what we've been programmed through that to kind of lean more towards. We're best to that in that aspect. So it could be something totally different, but at the same time, it's a roll of a dice, and it's people who are playing with things that once they put all the pieces together, don't fully comprehend how it's actually functioning or what it's actually doing, or can't read, you know what I mean? Can't decipher how it's making decisions. That's kind of a roll of the dice that I'm not willing to take with an entire species. I don't see that as being a necessary gamble,
you know,
just for a bunch of money.
Dude, I look at it, Mike, you know what? If every child from this moment on that's born, right, every child that's born, every parent will turn around and tell this child, you are God's creation. This is what you are. You are everything. You are this, you are that. This is an illusion. It's not solid. Live your life to this, manifest. All this stuff. Could you imagine what the world would look like the next generation?
Yeah, it would be totally different than what we have now.
Right, because it's the same thing that they're trying to teach the AI, the shit that they hold from us. They're trying to program that into an AI. But we're already
But it's not necessarily programming per se. Like, they give it the basic structure, and then, so AlphaGo, for instance, right? The game Go has billions of possibilities of moves, right? So the first generation that they made for it, AlphaGo 1, was horrible at it. just absolutely horrible. They gave it the set parameters, and then it started to learn and started to learn. And then it started giving human beings a run for their money. And then they made a second generation. And the second generation has beat every single human, like all the greatest in the world, that's destroyed them. Mm-hmm. And then they took that generation and put it against the first one, and it beat it 1,000 times to zero. No,
but it would be a whole different thing if we just taught our children that, and then we wouldn't have to worry about AI or anything. We wouldn't have to spend all that money and do, you know what I'm saying? It would be the right thing to do, the right way to go.
No, absolutely. I fully understand that. And even going back to, the little heated debate we had before, I mean, I'm totally on board with what you were saying even then, Mike, because there is this similarity between us and them, and almost that mirroring effect. So you do see that a lot with a lot of these occultists and elitists, where there is that duality of the good and the evil, and it's this mimicking of everything in order to continue to push their agenda through. So that is another part where, I mean, like they say, oh yeah, the Patriot Act's good for you. It's going to prevent all this terrorism. You know what I mean? And then out of nowhere, all these other rights are infringed upon and everything else takes place. So, with being mindful of how they actually operate, you have to be a little bit fearful if they're allowing this technology to be created, because there has to be some alternate means besides for what they're telling you.
Oh, absolutely. I agree.
Always. Always is.
So, yeah, I mean...
Go ahead.
No, sorry. But going back to the video game one, they have an Atari. Like, they have one that plays, like, it started off with Atari games and then it keeps going. But what they've found with it is that they literally don't give it any programming, and they have it try to figure out the game on its own. And it starts off, like, say we started running that program now, it would be like an infant, so it wouldn't really do anything. It'd die immediately. It'd be horrible at the video game. But overnight, what ends up happening through these researches and experiments is that overnight it gains almost a super intelligence for the game. And it's kind of predicting where, like, say, Space Invaders. So where the Space Invaders are going to be towards the end of the round. So the last shot the thing makes, it's almost as like it's just throwing the bullet to the side. And then it's predicting where that last little guy is going to be. And it ends the game. I mean, it's quite unbelievable to actually watch some of the experimentation that they're doing. And then that could carry over. So I think, it's compounding on itself, just its learning capabilities. But at some point in time, I mean, if you think, through speculation and just thought process, right? So you have this thing, but it's going to be constricted to the amount of technology that's around it. So, kind of like the movie Transcendence, where Johnny Depp's shot with a bullet. It's laced with uranium, and he uploads his consciousness into a computer, and then they put it out over the internet, and he starts doing crazy things. Like, he's rebuilding humans, he's got nanotechnology going out, and he has access to the internet and all information. So he starts building himself. He's in there, he's got a whole facility, he starts building his own brain and his own computation power, and has an enormous facility full of this stuff. So, at some point, because of those constraints of technology, it would actually have to figure out how to become better than what it is now. It would have to develop more technology in order to sustain the greed that would become computation power, that desire to be able to compute faster and more, to keep going that way. I mean, does that make any sense at all?
Yeah, definitely, for sure.
Playing God.
Yeah. Yep. And you see it, though, and you see it with the Sophia robots, right? So you have Sophia, and then you have Han. Sophia is kind of like, the jovial, likable AI, where Han is kind of like a shit talker, right? He's, he's more direct. He's kind of aggressive in his approach. I mean, there's that duality again, the good and the evil. And all these symbolism, the symbology is just still, it's being thrown right in your face. I mean, it's not really a coincidence, like DeepNet, you know, Google Deep Dream, a lot of these other ones, deep neural networks. I mean, there's meaning behind it more than just having these programs.
He looks really real.
And the shit he says is out of control.
Yeah, you watched that video where they got into that little debate.
Mm-hmm.
I felt so bad for him. I don't know what it was. I had like this really deep compassionate like feeling for him. I just felt so bad because to me he looks so real, and it just seems right. So wrong. So look more, and she gets all the praise, but he looks more real than her.
Well, that's because. So they've been doing like photo shoots with her. Like they'll put makeup on her. They'll have her in dresses. They put a wig to cover like
right.
all the stuff in the back. I mean, and it's pretty fucking real.
Talking about Sophia? We talking about Paul?
No, I mean, his weekend activity is his weekend activity. You know what I'm saying? If he gets down like that, you know, I want to see proof. That's all.
All right, sorry. So they put makeup on her.
But that's what they do. And she looked real, like real, real.
But Mike, what's the guy's name again?
Han? H-A-N?
They had him in that little suit. I don't know. To me, that was so creepy because his skin on his neck, his face, he looked like a real head.
Right. And think about that, though, because you knew he was a robot and you still felt compassion for it.
But not for her. Just for
right.
him.
No, right. And that's what I'm saying, though, is that you felt compassion for an inanimate object that's being fed information via remote. You know what I mean? There's remote link to that, and the information's coming out.
There's almost like
we're awake.
Morally wrong with that. That's not your
fault. Yeah, but that's the human element in it. We form attachments to objects and things. And that's just what they can't replicate in a sense, because they start doing this thing called the Luciferian experiment, and that's like globalism and profit and greed and all that. And with AI, they're trying to take the human element out, so everything's cold, clinical. You know what I mean? In a sense.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, and, you know, we know about these things, you know what I mean? We're attuned to different things. I mean, I hate to use the term awake, you know, I mean, they've destroyed that term altogether, but we're a little bit more open to the alternatives. I mean, imagine like what the average person, not being where we are, looking at those things going, oh, that, you know, that's like looking at a puppy. It's a cute little toy they got, you know what I mean? But they're not considering the ramifications of anything. And that's how these things get pushed through, is because, oh, we'll just throw, you know, a top hat on the frog and let him dance around, and it's cute until he pulls out a machine gun and, you know, mows you down. I mean, you got to really pay attention and be careful.
Yeah, perhaps they're already here, Mike. Perhaps the bots that we see in the background, the backdrop people, maybe they're already here.
Well, I mean, the bots are following you everywhere. I mean, all over the internet, that's all narrow AI. So they're already doing that. And imagine all those creepers out there being able to watch and monitor what you're saying, what you're doing, all your online activity. You know, I mean, every phone's got a GPS in it. If it's a smartphone, they know your location. They know all of that. So and think about that when it comes.
Some of the programs might be called Alice as well. It's just funny how they can name it everything Alice.
Yeah, but I mean,
Alice, Cortana, like from the Halo series. I mean, it's the same thing. They push this.
No, but I mean, going to your local supermarket and looking around and just looking at people, and they just look like shells. They look fake. They look like robots. Yeah. I wonder if they're wrong.
Yeah, that's what. Well, I mean, that's what technology's been doing. It's literally sucking the life force out of a lot of people, because their interactions are taken away from in person to now it's easier to shoot somebody a text message or, you know, and to be on social media with them.
Yeah, sorry, but it's interrupt, like, well, sorry, interrupted, but that's what that article was on about before that I didn't like went through completely. Basically, it was saying that's what's happening. this program called Alice is like taking your consciousness out through your phones. Do you know what I mean? If it's a frequency, yeah. You know, that's what it was saying. Like you just said, you're spending all the time in front of a screen, in front of the phone, and you like it's like taking your essence from you, you know, that frequency, absorbing the frequency into it. And that's what it was basically on about, and changing things, which was just interesting.
So why would it have an effect on some and not others?
That maybe because they're on a different frequency. Because like we've said and agreed on, once you're switched on,
well, that's true too. Yeah,
you can't read. You know,
right. It doesn't affect you, right?
Yeah,
yeah, very true. Although when somebody does messes with the frequency, I believe that we feel it physically. I mean, under my eyes. I mean, you feel it.
Well, yeah, we talked about that with the frequency that you know I. There's a lot of things we speculate with the frequency, but I mean,
you look at all the birds that fall from the sky dead, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds.
Or yeah, the birds not coming, or maybe, you know, how we talk about the chemtrails, and the chemtrails impede not collective consciousness, yeah. Probably using the frequency in conjunction with the chemtrails to kind of carry it all.
That's what I did in my last video, well, in the second last video, talking about, you know, when you were talking about the black dots and things like that, what could that black dot be? And I just theorized it was one of the sonic devices that control frequencies. That's why you see them in clouds now, and obviously birds not traveling as much as they used to.
Yeah. Crazy, there's really the one of the points, if anybody is just new here, should take from the show is there's so many topics to look into. You know, there's never one ultimate truth. I mean, look at some of the topics we talked about today. So it's not just Mandela effect. It's not just flat earth. It's not just vaccines. It's not just 9/11. It's not just the political system's fake. It's there's so many things. If AIDS is a hoax, that's another huge one, a huge, huge, maybe the biggest medical fraud ever. I mean, it's huge. If this AI thing is a huge topic to look into, I mean, there's so many things. The last time Mike was on, Mike, we talked about the ancients and the giants and all that, and I haven't given that it's just due so far. Like, I haven't looked into it enough, but it's very, very interesting, you know? There's so many more topics I haven't even got to.
Yeah, I mean, you can't just focus on one thing and I mean, I guess you can, you know, if that's all you want to do, you could do that. But I mean, you know, I think I speak for a lot of us when you start going down one road and you start to see where other branches take you. I mean, I'm going to go see where that one ends and see what's down that road. And then I might come back to this one and shoot down another side and see where that's at. I mean, the quest for knowledge doesn't just stop with one subject.
Right.
In my opinion, particularly,
that's right.
I mean, you got to keep looking. There's more out there than just one thing. Like, yeah, the Earth might be flat, but there's other aspects of that could correlate with other theories. That if you don't combine the two, you might not even get close to where, you know, the practical answer is.
That's right.
So you have to really keep an open mind and an open heart, and really, you know, do the best discernment you can. Pick apart the junk that's out there from the good stuff and figure out what is trash and what's misleading, and you know, come to your own conclusion based upon solid research and development of theories, you know, and not necessarily with just yourself, but with other people, because they might have different angles than you do. And you know, I mean, everybody tries to think that, you know, they know a lot and they know this and they know that. I mean, I don't know shit.
This is the tip. Stuff up. That's how you wake yourself up in the process of finding out what's a lie, is what's bullshit, what resonates with you, and you make it your own. And then you go on to another subject and another subject and another, and you're waking yourself up.
Yeah, and you keep talking about it. I mean, you know, you're gonna hit bumps in the road, and people are gonna look at you funny, and they're gonna call you crazy. Oh, and you're a conspiracy theorist, whatever. But yeah, I mean, if you're true to it, and that's what you're trying to do, is find out what's really going on, or what, you know, what you're looking into, if that's the truth, keep going. Don't stop at just one thing.
Right. No, and they're all connected. Everything seems to be connected. Everything, you know, pretty much comes under one umbrella by the same people at the top pulling the strings. And like we always talk about, you know, like basically what you just said, Mike, you hit it perfect. And it's like what I always talk about, you know, you might have a piece of the puzzle. I might have a piece. Gloria might have a piece. And it might shit might make no sense to us or just a little bit. And we have this really big hurdle that we can't get through. And then when we put those pieces together, oh, shit, this fits with this. And no, I didn't see this. And now what I'm thinking about over here does make sense. And then we all collaborate. And sometimes you can also use it to throw your shit out. Oh, what she's saying with Mike makes more sense than what I'm saying. If those two are true, well, what I'm saying can't be true. And I didn't think about that variable. So now I'm going to throw this out and I'm going to go look for it this way.
Right. Don't be afraid to be wrong. Right. Don't be afraid to be wrong. I mean, if you're wrong, you're wrong. It's not the end of the world.
Don't be afraid
keep
to
going.
Have an opinion. Don't be afraid to have
it wrong millions of times. We started with a basis and a foundation that was fucking wrong from the jump. So to all of a sudden, right? You think you're awake, all of a sudden, you know, since 2010 or whatever it is for me, all of a sudden I'm going to be right about everything. No, man, everything's a learning process. You got to make mistakes along the way. And unfortunately for us, because we put our voices out there publicly, well, our mistakes get out there publicly to people because we don't keep it in and we tell people how we think. So if I make a mistake, I'll come out and admit it and I'll correct it and I'll move on. And that's just how it is.
No, absolutely. But I think a lot like it, and it seems like lately, I mean, if you know, if you're wrong, it gets really aggressive really quick, and it doesn't have to be that way, especially with, you know, the kind of people I am. I mean, I've known you for a long time. I know it doesn't have to be that way with you. We're all open. I mean, if I'm wrong, just say something. Show me where I'm wrong at. I'll go look into it, and if I'm wrong, I'll say it. I was wrong. No big deal, but I appreciate you coming and pointing that out to me. You know, and let's see if we could take this somewhere from that point. You know, let's keep going forwards and not thinking about the negativities.
And that's kind of like the Mandela effect, Brian, you know, in that community. It's like, I don't remember it this way. I know for sure. And people are like, oh, no, you're wrong. It's always been that way. They don't understand how the Mandela effect works. Maybe for you, it's always been that way.
Oh, when they tell somebody no, when somebody has a different memory and they say, oh, you're wrong, and they right. get all.
Oh, it's called this, it's called that, and you don't know what you're talking about. No, I know what I'm talking about, because if I wasn't 100% sure, you know me, Brian, I would say, I don't know. I don't know for sure. But when I'm 100% sure, I'm 100% sure, and I don't care what they think or what they say. You know, maybe it's been like that for you, but that's not how the Mandela effect works.
I'm not interested in people that just look at one topic. Honestly, if you look at the people that I've interviewed all three of you guys, me and myself, okay, so you guys interviewed me. So we've all done the My Awakening interviews, and everybody that I do the interviews with are people that talk about a various amount of topics for a multitude of reasons. And the main one is simply, if you want to talk about one topic, it shows me that you're not really that aware. You're not, you know, because you could have just got sucked into one topic and that's it. You have to be somebody that connects the dots. And number two, well, it's my fucking channel. And if you're only talking about one topic, your story doesn't interest me. Sorry. That's it.
Yeah.
You know?
True.
We've always talked. Remember when you know, I know you guys don't remember, but Mike personally knows Justin, knew Justin before Justin passed. And me and Justin did the show together for years. And it was so 9/11 heavy when we first started. You know, it's always doing now. There was one point I was doing 11 shows every day before we started this show. And then it was not, and Justin's like, man, we got to talk about some other stuff. Man, we talk about 9/11 all the time. But we would talk about other stuff, you know, and it's always been that way. I'm always going to have my favorite topics, 9/11, Flat Earth, NASA, Apollo, the Mandela Effect. I mean, those are like my biggest ones. Any fake media, CGI, green screen, fake shootings, but the fake shootings are a snooze lately. I mean, real lately, since like Sandy Hook. I mean, really, it's just a joke. But those types of events, that's the stuff I like to look into. But there's always other avenues that we need to go. And then obviously these things are all connected. They're all run by the same people, you know, and Paul goes another route, likes other things too. Like Paul's into the ancient cultures and, you know, all sorts of things. And it all connects.
It sure does. It sure does.
Yeah. You guys got anything else before we close it up?
Nope. If I start, I'll stop.
Well, everybody that's here, do me a favor and make sure you sub Paul's channel. It's linked below. If you want to be in contact with Mike, his Facebook's linked below. And go to the My Awakening. You know what? After I'll put the links to your Awakening right in the show notes. I didn't put them in there, but they are on the My Awakening playlist on this channel. Make sure you sub this channel and please share it. We're trying to get to 1,000 subs. We're almost there. That'd be great if you can help out. Me and Gloria did a short video Thursday night, like an hour long on the Mandela Effect. Really good video. Make sure you check that out. For the Flat Earth people, I did airplanes on a spinning ball and a video on the moon, two little short videos, like 10, 15 minutes each. I did those this week. Make sure you check those out. And otherwise, I mean, we'll definitely be back next Saturday, 2 p.m., and I'll probably do something in the middle of the week, maybe even a couple short videos. So make sure you sub Ball's channel, sub this channel, like it, share it, subscribe. Thank you, everybody. Have a good night.
Bye.